From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
I'm Elvis Mitchell. Welcome to The Treatment. You can also hear the show on KCRW.com. If you never thought you'd laugh hearing a Tinderstick song, you did during the opening episode of Eastbound and Down. You know what my guest, Danny McBride and Jody Hill, can do with that kind of material. Take stuff that's supposed to be emotional and find both the comedy and the tragedy in it. Eastbound and Down is beginning its second season. Its creators, Danny McBride and Jody Hill, are here. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
But before we get into the show, that's a very interesting thing, going back to The Foot Fist Way, which you collaborated on as well. This sort of tension between comedy and tragedy, it's sort of taking the 70s and adding something else to it. And I wonder where that came from. Is it almost like a regional kind of a sensibility or what?
It might be a regional thing. I also think it comes from, we were always fans of 70s films, filmmakers. That was one thing we've always talked about and had in common, kind of a shared interest in these films. We're also kind of video brats in a lot of ways, where we've grown up on whatever Meatballs and these kind of movies. So I think it's probably just some kind of fusion of everything we love, this is just how it comes out.
But I mean, Danny, you've even used it in other movies. I mean, I think I hate to bring up other movies that you've done without Jody, but the fact is that you sort of brought that.
I don't recognize those.
Well, I won't mention anything, but I won't mention Hot Rod by name, but Hot Rod has an incredible scene, and it's something you've done a number of times before. You talk about, don't let me get the devil in me before you go crazy or something like that. That almost feels like you're doing a comedy version of something like out of Scarecrow or something like that.
It's, a little comedy riff on Straw Dogs or something like that.
But it's a fascinating thing, because again, when I saw the first episode, I think we talked about this when you were last here, Jody, mm-hmm. and I heard that The Organist entertains, and I just couldn't believe that you found something like that to use for comedy. It's a really fascinating blend of material, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what, that's kind of been something that Danny and me have just kind of, it's kind of evolved as we've made more things together, but it's certainly something that we consciously talk about this is supposed to hit you on an emotional level, but the things that are coming out of his mouth are hysterical, hopefully hysterical and funny. Yeah, I think it was just something that we realized that it was kind of working in Foot Fist Way and really wanted to explore more in Eastbound and Down, like how to take a guy who is in a lot of ways ridiculous and treat him with kind of a serious eye.
Sure, Dan. I can bring up that sort of that weird blending when people don't know what to make of it. It was your first appearance with Conan O'Brien when you were replaceably doing that character.
Fred Simmons.
Yes.
That Jody was there for that, and that was a wild trip. I mean, we went on there and no one had any clue who I was or had any clue about the movie, and we went on there and kind of had a meltdown with Mr. Conan, and it was hilarious to watch the message boards and see all the people kind of react to it, and they were like, "Who is this guy? He shouldn't be allowed to be around children. I can't believe he owns his own karate school." And to us, that was just a victory. Just
my favorite one was when somebody said they were ashamed to come from North Carolina. This guy, I was like, "Oh, that's great."
Now, in those cases, do you feel like, I mean, when I saw that, I find myself thinking about stuff like, I'm Still Here and what the kind of things Andy Kaufman did too. And I'm wondering if that kind of comedy where you're blurring reality is also an influence on you guys as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think it's always kind of fun to kind of make a few people angry along the way too, which is like something that we don't, we do it in a way, hopefully without sacrificing, the story and the character, but, certainly like being provocative and kind of like shocking audiences and things like that. It is a challenge to kind of integrate that kind of, the love of that into like the story and stuff, but, we try.
Yeah. It's something where when we try to, Jody and I try to push it, to each other, of finding humor in places where you're not really socially supposed to find humor, and just kind of seeing at what level is it too much, or at what level does it weirdly work and kind of end up saying something. And, I think that's an interesting area to kind of play creatively.
This is The Treatment. My guests are Jody Hill and Danny McBride. Their show, Eastbound and Down, is back for a second season on HBO. And if I can ask you, Danny, to describe a little bit what the Eastbound and Down is and who Kenny Powers is.
Eastbound and Down is a tale of a man who had it all at one point, and he has lost it due to his own, arrogance and his refusal to learn any lessons. And the show kind of deals with his fall from grace, and, ultimately it's a story of a man just trying to find redemption in his own way, and he stumbles through that quest and you know, proves to be his own worst enemy at times. And, you know, that's the basic kind of vibe that we're kind of going for with it. And, you know, Kenny Powers, he used to be a major league pitcher who had the heat and he lost it. And, you know, he's trying to find what he's lost.
And one of the things that you do with the show, Jody, which you're doing again this season, is that you basically treat it as if it's all continuous. It's not like there are weeks between each episode, but as if it were, in effect, a feature film.
That's right. That's something that we consciously talked about from the beginning, is that, you know, if you edited out all the credits, you would be able to kind of put these together, and it's one continuous story. This is season two, so I think that, you know, you could leave after a 3-hour movie, which would be season one, and come back and watch another 3.5-hour movie, which would be season two. Honestly, we looked at this show not so much as like a TV show, but as a movie, and we were going to try to break every rule of TV that we could with this show.
One of the things that I like about the work you do, and I'll ask you this, Danny, is that you guys tend to create a community of people, and that almost seems to grow out of being in North Carolina and the kind of stuff that David Gordon Green, who's, as you mentioned, a friend and who you work with before you were an actor on movies. Is that something that almost feels like it's another regional thing, where it feels like everybody comes out of the same area in the films that you do?
We our background, Jody, myself, and David Green, we all went to film school together, and so there's that community there, and I think we like to try to keep that same sort of vibe when we make our stuff. But at the same time, I think it's, you know, we're very much into that community vibe, and so I think we do kind of explore that a little bit when it comes to the characters too. Everyone, you know, I think we find just as much enjoyment in Eastbound of exploring all those other characters and all these different, you know, personalities and how they gel together and how they're forced to work together, be together. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things we do enjoy writing on the show for it.
That's one of the things that I think makes this show unusual, that it's not really an ensemble so much as it feels almost like a city, you know, and you create these sort of kind of peaceful areas where one character comes in to disrupt everything. Right. And that's a fascinating way to work, Jody.
Yeah, we're kind of like building a world that looks like a world, you know, but then inside of that, we have our own kind of life. And I know that that's kind of a weird answer, but we try to ground everything in reality. But if everything is grounded in reality, then you're allowed to kind of push it in certain areas and things. Like, would Kenny maybe get away with some of the things he gets away with in real life? I don't know. But in this reality that looks almost like our reality, he does. So we're trying to build that world that makes people just, you know, kind of like raise their eyebrows a little bit and go, oh God, that's kind of scary because it looks like my own.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the early ideas when we were first talking about Eastbound was, you know, let's take this story and let's follow the villain and see if we can find a way to make the audience root for the villain. And, you know, because for all intents and purposes, when Kenny Powers comes back to Shelby in the first season, you know, he is the bad guy. I mean, he comes in to challenge a guy who's getting ready to be married and tries to steal, you know, his woman away, and he's corrupting all these children, and it's, you know, he's the bad guy. There should be a hero who vanquishes him, and you know, but that's not the story we're really interested in telling. We really want to try to figure out, like, let's follow the villain and let's figure out a way to make people kind of root for the twisted, crazy sort of redemption that he's looking for.
We're talking about the twisted, crazy Eastbound and Down, which is having a second season on HBO. It's The Treatment. My guests are Jody Hill and Danny McBride. When you say that, though, I mean, there must be a fascination you guys have with infantile behavior from, if you pardon the expression, athletes, because you look at Foot Fist Way with Fred and now Kenny in Eastbound and Down, even though originally Kenny wasn't going to be necessarily a baseball player, it turns out to be about almost the corruption of celebrity on some level, doesn't it?
I think so. We kind of were trying to do something about a modern day hero. And
but it's almost like a modern day narcissist in some right. way. You know?
Well, that, you know, athletes, which we don't know anything about sports, but we are able to look at athletes from afar and see that's kind of like in our culture. These are our heroes. And we thought it would be cool to take like a hero and make him fall.
But I mean, if you're talking about sort of big sort of tragedy stuff, that it really is about somebody who's incredibly self-absorbed, viewed as almost take some Greek god and put him in modern day society, how he'd be destroyed by it.
You know, that's definitely how that's how we imagine that Kenny sees himself, you know, is that he is some god who's come down from Olympus to be amongst all these, you know, all these regular people, you know. And we in the second season of Eastbound, we kind of followed the same sort of you know, of like architecture. Like, you know, in the second season, we were watching a lot of like spaghetti westerns and things like Pale Rider and The Unforgiven. And, you know, in the second season, it was more of like a Western vibe of like Kenny sees himself as this sort of aging gunslinger who, you know, has come down to Mexico to die. And, you know, so we always, I guess we try to pick something much larger and better than Kenny is and put that into into his head.
And we have to say, for people that didn't follow the show, in the first season, he kind of ruins America for himself. So he goes to hide out in Mexico. Now, how did you guys end up deciding on that, about where he would go? Because there was some talk at one point he would just push his SUV off a cliff and just reemerge somewhere else.
Right.
It was almost a joke. You know, like when we had no idea if anyone would let us do the show again or if people would watch the show. And, you know, we kind of joked around the first season of like, well, if we got to do this again, it might be kind of cool if he went, you know, if we just put him in another country or we put him somewhere totally different. And once we had the opportunity to do it again, we kind of were trying to come up with ideas. And that was the one that seemed to kind of stimulate us the most was, you know, let's just take him completely outside of the world that we established. And let's see if we can make a story just as compelling.
But I've got to ask you, Joe, because in conceiving this, the question you have to ask yourself is how much further can you push? I mean, because you're at the point now where people... He's a familiar figure, and people love those foibles and those flaws about him. But you obviously, you guys want to keep that level of discomfort because that's where the comedy comes from, right?
That's right. We're very conscious of that, and I think that what we've talked about is not doing too many episodes and seasons. This show has a limited run, as far as I'm concerned, because we just really want to avoid. We're not going for syndication. We just want to make a really good TV show, and. I feel like sometimes whenever shows go on too long, no matter if it has the best intentions, you kind of get these things where it's like, oh, the crowd loves this. Let's give them more of this. Or they've done this. So we have to give a new twist to make it different. And it all kind of gets to a point where it's phony. And we just care a lot about this TV show. So we're going to stop it before it gets to that point is the idea.
But it's also this time it's really about baseball in the way that it wasn't in the last season.
So far it is.
Subtle. I get that. Let's say, to this point, thank you for cleaning that up for me, Danny. But I mean, and I wonder if that was a conscious choice too. It's because baseball was kind of in the periphery of the first season of the show. And this time we're immersed in it. It's almost like you pick up where you left off, but baseball is a big part of it. And I wonder how you guys came to that decision this time around.
I think to some degree, Kenny Powers, his dream is to get back on the mound professionally in the majors. So I think the one thing that keeps people kind of tied to this character, to some degree, is the fact that he has this dream. And that in a lot of ways gives us a way to just kind of do whatever we want with this character. Like he can be, you know, as bad as he can be, but as long, I kind of feel like this is kind of like, it's kind of anti-studio thinking where it's like, as long as a character has a dream or a goal or a passion or an outlook on life, then you can follow them. They don't have to necessarily be likable or anything. They just need that perspective. And I feel like that's what we're kind of testing the waters with on this show.
You know, just how each episode kind of ties into the next one and together it feels like a film, you know, that's how we wanted the seasons to feel as well, you know, and at the end of the first season, you know, Kenny gets his pitch back. So in the second season, it's exploring that further. Like now that he has his pitch back, what does he do with it? And so that is, you know, just another way to kind of lock this season in with the last season and, you know, keep on track of telling a bigger story.
Well, with those kind of inspirational words ringing in your heads, we'll take a break. My guests are the creators and one of the stars, the star, forgive me, Danny, of Eastbound and Down, Danny McBride and Jody Hill. It's The Treatment. There's more to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm talking to Jody Hill and Danny McBride, the star, and Danny, and the creators and director of many of the episodes of the show Eastbound and Down, which is in the second season on HBO. And one of the things I thought that I liked so much about the first season is that if you didn't know Kenny was a baseball player, you would almost not believe it. I mean, he's got the arrogance of somebody who talks a big game and never produced. So the idea of really showing him at that game, because even at the end of the first season, we weren't sure if it was the steroids that gave his pitch back for one pitch or if he could actually really play the game again. So how did you guys decide to sort of make him an athlete, really, and let us see him being that?
It's so funny. When we first thought of this, you know, it just kind of, you know, came to us. We were, thought it would be funny, you know, with the hero thing, the athlete, all this. And then somebody goes, so he could have been like a rock star. And we were like, oh yeah, maybe we should have done that. We would have known like a lot more about that than the whole sports thing. I don't know. You know, we figured a relief pitcher is great because in a way that's the rock star of baseball. He comes in for a short period of time, throws a few pitches, gets all the credit, and then gets out of Dodge. So
now right now, I believe you know something about baseball based on an analogy to the rock star.
See, I've been learning.
You fooled me with this one.
I've picked up a little bit in 2 years.
But I mean, that's, I just, with anything else, and I just, that's almost the comedy two and foot fist way that we don't really see Fred doing stuff a lot. So it's these guys, almost this conception that they have. So the idea of putting him out there in that world gives you a chance to do very different things in the second season, doesn't it?
It really does. And why you don't probably see Fred Simmons do a lot of karate or even Kenny throw a lot of baseball is probably just because my lack of any athletic ability.
Well, you can definitely see in the first season of Eastbound and Down that your pitch improves.
I think that's still questionable. Yeah.
I didn't say it got good. I say it improved.
There's improvement, yeah.
But the idea of showing him doing this, it's almost like you felt at a certain point, you can't just talk about it. We've got to see him do this and see people reacting to it. And that felt like it was kind of what the show's about so far in the second season.
At some point, he needs interaction with baseball, we felt like. So this, you know, to play for a baseball team in Mexico, we thought that was kind of about kind of the lowest kind of professional baseball you could play. And Kenny is conscious of that in all of his interactions with the team, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely. We should also say, too, he's not playing real pro baseball in Mexico.
Right. No, this is like a knockup from a neighborhood game. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
But one of the things that you find a very interesting way of doing, Danny, many of the characters you play, people think that they can make him better. I mean, we can like say Pineapple Express or any things you've done. You often play people who people, the characters around think, well, if I just talk to this guy, I can make him see the light of his, see the error in his ways. And you seem like to get some pleasure in confounding those expectations.
I kind of dig stuff like that where, you know, there's so many stories where you're pounded about characters changing and learning things. And I think it's funny to play with that kind of stuff, you know, people finding lessons and then they either use it in the wrong way or they kind of mutate it into something that, you know, still self-serves them. I kind of think that that's kind of funny to dance around in those areas.
But it's funny because you were talking about this a little before the break, Jody, about following a dream. And one of the things I really like about the show is that that kind of, you're talking about being video kids and the ethos of those 80s of the movies is that follow your dream and you're okay. And these shows basically showing that if you follow your dream, you can ruin the other people around you by following it.
You know, I heard some interview with Paul Schrader where he talks about how like people just want something that they can relate to. And it doesn't have to be a positive image. It doesn't have to be, you know, a comforting image. It just needs to be some type of reflection of their world. And I don't think Danny or me ever wanted to set out to like teach anybody a lesson. Cause I mean, who are we to teach a lesson? You know what I mean? Like hopefully there are people watching the show who are older and wiser than we are and just are like entertained by it. But if it reflects real life at all, I feel like that there could be some type of comfort in that people can see and enjoy and laugh at. So ultimately, that's really our only mission. I don't think we're out to like preach or anything like that.
That's an interesting way of putting it, because a lot of comedy, probably comedy you guys grew up seeing and stuff like Meatballs and those kinds of things, were not based in reality at all. So the idea of taking that kind of thing and saying, what this, if in effect, what if a character like Bill Murray's character in Meatballs existed in real life? He'd be kind of an awful guy.
Right. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the things kind of, you know, with all the films that we grew up on as kids, I mean, like you said, that is what it's teaching us. Follow your dreams. Everything will work out. And I think it is like, you know, when I got older and, you know, got out of college and got into the real world, it sounds pretty dumb, but it took me a moment to realize that things don't work how they do in movies. Like, you just, if you follow your dreams, that doesn't really mean anything. Like, you could still meet disaster. And, you know, I think with Kenny, we try to find all those sort of moments of, like, you know, all right, in the film now would be the big epic moment where he returns to everyone and gives the, you know, the big Dead Poets Society speech at the end. And, you know, we try to mirror that with, like, he's trying to make that moment happen in a school parking lot and a Cheerwine truck comes up in front of him. It's, you know, these sort of, you know, big classic moments that you kind of, you know, wish would happen in your regular life. You know, Kenny acts out upon those. And, you know, I think that's stuff that we find kind of funny.
It's The Treatment. My guests are Jody Hill and Dan McBride. We're talking about the new show Eastbound and Down on HBO. But as we're talking, there's that line in Observe and Report that describes almost everything you've done, where one of the characters said, I thought this was going to be funny, but it's just sad. And that moment you're talking about in the town where it should be like two things at once. You guys really love that idea of just playing against people's expectations and make them react in a number of ways, because movies about following your dream, or you follow the Bill Murray character in Meatballs, are just really kind of one-dimensional. If you watch them at home on TV, on video, you must kind of think, well, what's missing from this? I mean, that must be somewhat part of what motivates you guys, right?
We've kind of made that our thing. It's like the moments that are supposed to be funny, we play for sad. The moments that are supposed to be sad, we play for funny. It's so weird. Our audience is almost divided, and I don't want to say in half. I don't know the percentages, but there are some people who totally get the joke with Kenny Powers, and they really like are like, oh, you guys are kind of playing off this, and you're messing with our expectations of heroes. And then there are some people who just see themselves in Kenny Powers and like it, and those people are kind of scary. But
trust me, they're very scary. I've met many of them late night in bars where they're buying you a shot and they're telling you like how cool the show is, and then they start kind of like telling about how much they're like Kenny Powers, and you're just like, whoo, I need to maybe take a little walk and get out of here as quickly as I can.
Did that surprise you the first time it happened? Because some part of you must think, well, people get this.
It constantly, you know, surprises, because, you know, we know the reasons why we like the show, and we would assume that other people would like that for the same reasons. But when you start seeing that, it's like, you know, sometimes it speaks to people in another way that they're not really getting the joke. Yeah, it's definitely surprising. It's wild.
Because part of what we're talking about here is that realism, where it's not those signals where, like, somebody, like, you know, does something really slapsticky, and then a lot of the 80s movies we're talking about. When it's played that real, then people, they're basically doing what you want them to do. They're investing in the reality of the material, right?
That's right, yeah. And it's, people do tend to take it maybe more serious than they would other comedies. So it's like, I mean, that's good and bad. I mean, it's good like on Eastbound and Down where it works and there's an audience for it, you know what I mean? But I mean, it can be bad too. Like people can, like we said, they can judge it in weird ways, or they can side with it in weird ways.
The problem's got to be because they must think that because you're writing this, it's you rather than you exploring a character.
We get that a lot. I got that a lot with Observe and Report, and it's weird because these kind of characters, at least that we've done in the work we've done together, have been like people that we are kind of the polar opposite of, and especially a guy like Kenny Powers. I mean, we never played sports. We don't consider ourselves rednecks, even though we're very Southern. And you know, like I think that Kenny's probably not a really good person, and I'm not saying we're like, you know, these saints or anything, but like, I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who's that bad. And I think a lot of this comes from like, I grew up doing Taekwondo. We've seen, you know, jockey guys in the South, whatever it is. And it's like, it's fun, our PE teachers, you know, and it's kind of fun to like take these characters that you've seen, you know, growing up or wherever you've kind of interacted with them, and then make that a main character in a movie. And that's literally where this kind of stuff comes from.
But part of it, Danny, is going to be because you're not playing this guy as a caricature. You're not like putting quotes around it and saying, hey, it's okay to laugh at this guy because I'm laughing at him too, that you do get a reaction when people think that's you.
The approach for the show is we honestly never approach it like it's a comedy. We really approach it like it is a drama. And that goes for the performances as well. Like, we don't ever want to play into the joke with the performances. We like to just play it as straight and real as possible, because we feel like the comedy works the best if it's, you know, if that level of realism is achieved with it. And, you know, so to me personally, that's the kind of stuff I like. I like the stuff that teeters on the edge between tragedy and comedy. I like the stuff that feels real and doesn't tip its hat to the joke all the time. And that's what I think kind of you know, is interesting about this story is that it is a comedy, but the approach behind it, if you would hear the conversations that Jody and I have in the writing room, it never revolves around punchlines. It's always about character. It's about, you know, the reality of the situation. And the punchline is usually, that comes much, much later.
It's a treatment. I'm talking to the folks behind Eastbound and Down, Danny McBride, its star and co-creator, and Jody Hill, its co-creator and director of many of the episodes as well. Because one of the things I want to talk to you about, Jody, is that getting to what Danny was getting at, the way that music is kind of used to sort of subvert what people think. I'm thinking the way you use those Queen songs in Observe and Report, where Queen is often used for heroism in movies, and they aren't heroic moments in Observe and Report. But again, just going back to, oh God, even Love Will Turn You Around, and then that would be used seriously. And I have to say, it comes from this, how best to put this, not great Kenny Rogers movie called Six Pack.
Six Pack, yeah.
I couldn't believe I...
Do you want to tell the Six Pack story?
I mean, we couldn't believe... Honestly, we really struggled with that, you know, with that constant trying to find, like, the reality of the situation that we're in and, like, how to keep everything grounded.
If you say this happening in one of the key... Okay, basically, we should say the climactic moment
of
the first season of Eastbound and Down.
It's the sports moment.
Yeah, yes. it goes so far outside the realm of what's real, you know? I mean, Kenny Powers gets his pitch back and knocks out a guy's eye. And, you know, we're in the editing room. We're like, this is hilarious. It's really funny. But, it totally jumps the tracks of what we're trying to do here. It's completely outside the realm of what we've been working for. And we had a really hard time trying to figure out how to play with that tone a little bit and try to make it feel like it's in sync with what we're doing. And I don't know what happened, but somehow Kenny Rogers got pulled out of the iTunes. And
I think it was Danny's idea, and it was just like, God, this is so kind of an over-the-top sports moment, and everybody, it all works out. It's kind of like something out of Six Pack or something.
The light bulb went off.
For those who don't know, and maybe almost everybody in North America, Six Pack is where Kenny Rogers is basically a NASCAR driver with a bunch of lovable misfits as kids, including the young Diane Lane.
That's right.
And it's a movie that is certainly a follow your dream movie, and everything will happen for you in it. So to take that piece of music and use it there is just that thing where you guys love having things being at cross purposes and making the really savvy viewer ask questions about what they're asking.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, things that would be ridiculously offensive, we put maybe sweet music over, and or something that's is just kind of a horrible act, we'll put triumphant music over. And a lot of it is like, we also just have a big love of like kind of pop music and rock and roll and things like that. So between us and our friends who work on the show, I mean, we're always digging in the crates, and we like to come up with, once in a while we will use something that's pretty mainstream that everybody knows for an effect.
Sure.
But more times than not, we'll dig in the crates for some deep cuts that we like, just to kind of make something unique. I mean, we grew up on Tarantino, who was constantly doing that. So, I mean, like, that I think it just kind of stems from that and is a continuation of that in a lot of ways.
Well, we're out of time, guys. Thanks so much for doing this. And please come back when you're ready for another season of the show.
Oh, well, great.
Thank you.
My guests are Danny McBride and Jody Hill, the creators. And one of them is the star of the HBO series Eastbound and Down. A recording engineer at Argo Studios in New York is Paul West. The show is mixed by J.C. Swadek, edited and produced by Gemma Dempsey. I'm Elvis Mitchell. I'm not a ball player either. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.